I too want to express appreciation to Sister Jack and to Sister Okazaki, Sister Clyde, for their service, and welcome the new Relief Society presidency, as well as expressing appreciation to Sister Parkin and the service that she will now render in the mission field with her husband, and also for Sister Thomas. The Savior, as a caring friend, said to Peter, who had recently come to follow the Savior, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What is this process of conversion that each son and daughter of God must experience if they are to help others return back into his presence? The first seeds of conversion begin as an awareness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and a desire to know the truth concerning the restored gospel. "Let this desire work in you," we are told in the scriptures. A desire to know the truth is like a seed which grows in the fertile ground of faith, patience, diligence, and long-suffering. There have been some miraculous conversions recorded in the scriptures. The miraculous conversion of Saul is one of such example, illustrated when he asked two very, very important questions. "Who art thou, Lord? And what will thou have me do?" On occasion, individuals can have such experiences, but for the most part, conversion happens over a period of time as study, prayer, experience, and faith help us to grow in our testimony and conversion. When Abinadi fearlessly taught the gospel of Jesus Christ to the wicked King Noah and his priests, only Alma recognized the truth. Alma then had to demonstrate great faith in the words of Abinadi, which created a desire to forsake his sins and brought about a mighty change of heart. The conversion of each member of the church is not unlike that of Alma. We come out of the world into the kingdom of God. In the conversion process, we experience repentance, which brings about humility and a broken heart and a contrite spirit, preparing us for baptism, remission of sins, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Then over time and through our faithfulness, we overcome trials and tribulations and endure to the end. I think of what the first members of the church left behind. Many had to leave their families and friends, their nation of birth, and many of their ways of life. They traveled across an ocean, walked across a great nation to come to Zion so that they might have the fellowshipping with the saints. It is no different today. When one comes out of the world into the kingdom of God, they leave much behind them. Oftentimes, they too must leave behind friends and even family, as well as social contacts and a way of life that is not compatible with the standards of the church. After baptism, the new member of the church must learn how to become a fellow citizen with the saints in the kingdom of God through study, prayer, and most importantly also, member, example, and nurturing. Each member of the church is developing daily a deeper personal commitment, testimony, and conversion as they serve in their families and in church callings. Once in the kingdom of God as a newly baptized member, we honor the restored priesthood. Honoring the priesthood and being obedient and living the commandments are important elements in the conversion process. Adult male members receive the Aaronic priesthood soon after baptism. After a period of time, if worthy, they should receive the Melchizedek priesthood. And each individual in the family shares the blessings of the priesthood in the home. Women are welcomed and enjoy the blessings of sisterhood in the Relief Society. Youth determine and develop friendships as they associate in the Young Men and Young Women organizations, the children. Oh, how they're blessed as they're taught and feel the love of caring teachers in the primary. Our obedience to the commandments leads us to service and sacrifice in accepting callings in the priesthood quorums and the auxiliary organizations. We faithfully progress for at least 1 year after baptism and prepare ourselves to enter the temple of the Lord. In the holy temple, we receive our sacred endowments, which teach us how we must live to return into the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. Then we are sealed for time and all eternity. Our children come into the world protected, born in the eternal covenants we have taken together as husband and wife. If we enter the waters of baptism after our family has grown, our children are sealed to us as though we were born in the covenant. All of this time, our testimonies continue to grow, and as they do, they become a protection for us, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, it shall have no power over you. Knowing the truth and gaining a testimony strengthens us to stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. As testimony grows, we become more and more converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we follow him, we commit ourselves to serve him by serving others. Brothers and sisters, the church is growing rapidly. As our missionary force introduces the gospel in all parts of the world to those who are prepared with ears to hear, they join the church with great faith, with the testimony of Jesus Christ, with love in their hearts, and then they face the realities of reordering their lives to reflect the Lord's will. They lose the close association with the missionaries who brought them the light. They come to our wards and branches feeling as though they are strangers. If I could pause for a moment to give you a picture. As we read in the scriptures about seeds and about the sower of seeds in Matthew and in Alma 32, that seed grows, becomes a tree, and bears fruit. But we have to have good soil to accept the good seed. And that is our role in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that we bear fruit and that the fruit remain. Many are strong enough to endure to the end. Without receiving a warm hand of fellowship, some become discouraged and unfortunately may lose the spirit that brought them to the waters of baptism. What was once a centerpiece in their existence is pushed aside for what they may perceive to be an offense, more pressing matters of the day, or simply lost in the shuffle of living. To labor for the conversion of oneself and others is a noble and joyful task. And if it would so be that you would labor all your days in crying repentance unto this people, and bring, save it be one soul unto me, how great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father. And now if your joy will be great with one soul that you have brought unto me into the kingdom of my Father, how great will be your joy if you shall bring many souls unto me. Have you ever pondered the other side of that coin and what sorrow there is if we lose one soul and what sadness there is when many are lost? That is what the Lord feels. It's what our prophet feels. And that is what I hope you and I can feel, that we can show a determination to nurture those who experience the joys of feeling the Spirit, being baptized, gaining a testimony, or in the progress of overcoming trials and tribulations, and achieving an enduring conversion that will last eternally. Oh, amid the busyness of our day and concerns of what we are trying to accomplish in our individual and personal lives, and within our families, we sometimes are not aware of the needs of the new member who has just entered the kingdom. As we're committed to be by the side of each new member, could we walk with them along the straight and narrow path that leads to the temple, going with them to the temple so that in our friendship, we can have the joy and rejoice with them as we move together towards eternal life. Nevertheless, the people of the church did have much joy because of the conversion of the Lamanites, yea, because of the church of God, which had been established among them. And they did fellowship one with another and did rejoice one with another and did have great joy. Visualize for a moment a shepherd tending his sheep, The shepherd is studying and praying diligently to get close to God. As the shepherd concentrates on his personal relationship with God, he loses track of time and circumstance. He is not aware of his sheep wandering away or being ravaged by the evil marauders. The shepherd awakes from his personal pondering to the reality that some of his sheep are missing, that he must go forth and find them, bringing them back. We, whose conversion is sufficient, must reach out to those who wander. As we do, we will find great joy in gathering the Lord's sheep. Ammon, the Nephite missionary, provided an example for us. He had chosen to serve the Lamanite king and was sent to watch the flocks of Lamoni. When a band of renegades attacked and scattered the sheep, Ammon's fellow servants had fear and began to weep. What did Ammon say? "Be of good cheer, and let us go in search of the flocks, and we will gather them together and bring them back into the place of water." Now, we may read this as a story about some shepherds trying to round up some missing sheep, but the message is much more powerful and significant than that. Ammon was a missionary with noble intentions to bring the king and his kingdom back to the fold of righteousness, to the well of living water. The challenge looked daunting to those who could not see what they could see on the daily terms, the sheep strung out on the hillside and not enough manpower to round them up. They were discouraged and fearful that the king would discover their loss. Ammon not only led the force to recapture the sheep, he drove away the evil men who caused the problems, and his heroic efforts persuaded the king to follow him and to follow the Savior. Ammon teaches us that no matter what our circumstances, we can be an example to others, we can lift them, we can inspire them to seek righteousness, and we can bear testimony to all of the power of Jesus Christ. To become one in the family of saints requires established members of the church to warmly welcome new members with open arms. In like manner, it also requires a sincere effort on the part of new members to come to the church and participate with the other members of the church. Being one transcends gender, age, marital status, and economic standing. Conversion requires consecrating our lives to caring and serving others who need our help, to sharing our gifts and talents. The Lord didn't say, "Tend my sheep when it is convenient. Watch my sheep when you aren't busy." He said, "Feed my sheep and my lambs. Help them survive this world. Keep them close to you. Lead them to safety, the safety of righteous choices that will prepare them for eternal life." A member's challenge is similar to the many lessons that Jesus' disciples and apostles learned after they responded to his sincere invitation to come, follow me. In the New Testament, many lessons Peter, the senior apostle, learned are shared with us because there are lessons we must also learn in our conversion process. After the crucifixion, Peter went fishing with the disciples. He was now the senior apostle, but he did not realize what was expected of him. He had forgotten that he was to be fisher of men. From the boat, one of the fishermen recognized the resurrected Lord on the shore. Peter bounded ashore to greet the Savior and was met with a direct question that plumbed the depths of his conversion. Peter was still learning, as we must continue to learn. "Lovest thou me?" asked the Savior. Three times, "Lovest thou me?" Peter was hurt and taken back. "Thou knowest I love thee," he replied. Then counseled the Savior, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Like Peter, many are converted and leave the things of this world to follow the Lord. Like Peter, when we are called fishers to be fishers of Father's children, do we go a-fishing and forget to feed the lambs and sheep? Like Peter, when those around us are suffering or feeling fearful in need of fellowship and help, do we sleep at the garden gate? Like Peter, as we have our own individual learning experiences, will we be able to respond in the same manner Peter did when the Lord asked him, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now Simon Peter, converted, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Brothers and sisters, do we really understand the teachings of the Savior? "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Feeding the lambs could be the missionary labors working with the newly baptized members who must be nurtured and given caring warmth and fellowship in the family of the saints. Feeding the sheep could well refer to the mature members of the church, some active and some less active, who need to be cared for and brought back to the flock. We have learned well the message of one prophet. Every member is a missionary. Hopefully, we will respond to an equally urgent plea that every member be a friend, a fellowshipper, nurturing and caring for all our brothers and sisters, fully active members, new members, and less active members alike. Last night in priesthood meeting, we received an entreaty from President Inkley regarding our new members. He urgently petitioned us to care for our new members with statements like this: I ask you to help. Nothing is of greater importance. Let me help them. Let us help them as they take their first steps. This work is for everyone: the bishop, priesthood leaders, relief society, primary, young women, young men. Your friendly ways are needed. The one that is lost need not be lost. If needed, we should leave the 99 and find the one. May our personal supplication in response to the prophet's entreaty be, help me reach the friend in darkness. Help me guide him through the night. Help me show thy path to glory by the Spirit's holy light. Help me find thy lambs who wander. Help me bring them to the keep. Teach me, Lord, to be a shepherd. Father, help me feed the sheep, that we may follow our prophet's plea. First become converted, and then strengthen our brothers and sisters, is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.